You're with SBS Radio.
Shalom, Australia. There is nothing like living in Jerusalem. As Naomi Shemer wrote, Avir Harim Talul Kayayin, even the air feels fresher. The buildings of Jerusalem's stone glow in the sunshine. The skies are a special blue, even on a cold winter day. When it's hot during the day, relief comes with a cool breeze in the evening. So often when I'm walking the streets, I pinch myself and ask if it is true. Do I really live here? How can a place so special be home? But home it is. And today I want to share with you a morning in Jerusalem. For the past year, I have been getting up early to say Kaddish for my mother before work. At 6:25, I race downstairs and go into the street with many others heading towards the various Batei Knesset in the neighbourhood. I'm often the only woman, but that's okay. By 7, we're already on the way back home, and you can feel the heat now. This summer has been hotter than usual. I'm ready to head to work by 8 a.m. and stroll to the bus stop. The same crowd is there. There's the woman who's always on her mobile phone, changing from Hebrew to Russian and back again. I don't think I've ever seen her not on the phone. And all of us on her route know a great deal about her medical concerns, her favourite restaurants, and the feuds between her friends. There's my friend, an older woman who greets me enthusiastically as I approach. She loves to complain. It makes her happy. She tells me how much better things used to be. Particularly irritating to her is the bus service. My local bus is a 13. It's a terrible service. We all agree. But the drivers are really friendly and helpful, except for one. If we see he is driving the route, we all sigh. He gets great pleasure from turning the bend in our street at great speed, throwing around those passengers not lucky enough to have a seat. Once we are aboard, we nod to our fellow travellers who have boarded at earlier stops. There's a pair of older women who are animated in discussion about films and books and occasionally politics. Their Hebrew is sophisticated and their conversation lively. What makes them special is that both bear numbers on their arms. We drive past the president's house, which has recently been renovated to make it more attractive for foreign dignitaries and, at the same time, to upgrade security. Next door is the Van Leer Institute, where some of the world's greatest intellectuals offer seminars and public lectures. The bus continues down Jabotinsky, past the Inbal Hotel, and turns into King David Street. We are all happy when traffic flows into the street. Whenever world leaders visit, they stay at the King David Hotel, and then our bus is forced to make a detour. We stop outside the famous hotel, across the road from the YMCA, known here as IMCA. I get off at the next stop, the entrance to Memila Mall. Memila is an upmarket shopping mall linking the new city to the old. Although it had been a prestigious neighbourhood in the 19th and early 20th century, it was stormed by Arab mobs in 1947 and was abandoned by wealthy families and merchants. In the 1950s, poor Sephardi immigrants were settled there. It was hardly an appealing position so close to Jordanian snipers. In 1970, with the reunification of the city, Mayor Teddy Kollek recognised the potential for the site to be rejuvenated, and although it took nearly 40 years, the mall is now a buzzing gathering area for Jerusalemites from both the old and the new cities, and a popular tourist place. The art installations are marvellous and constantly changing. At the moment, there is an acrobatic theme, and many of the statues show acrobats in beautiful but impossible positions. Every morning, shortly after 8, they use hoses to clean the paving stones. The sun reflects from the stones and the whole mall is glistening. Few shops are open at that time, but Aroma offers a great cup of coffee for me to take into the old city with me. I climb the steps from Memila towards the Jaffa Gate. The plaza in between can sometimes look a little worn from the previous night's activities. Loose wiring, an abandoned stage, some litter. But the cleaners are hard at work. Some tour guides are already gathering their clients or trying to pick up additional clients from the many people coming in and out of the gate. They are all types. Tourists and locals, Arabs and Israelis, Christians, Muslims, Jews and more. Inside the gate, the supply trucks for the local stores are unloading and competing with the taxis for a limited amount of parking space. Minibuses, they have to be mini because the streets are too narrow for full size, tries to squeeze past as they head around towards the Armenian Quarter. I'm not going that way today. My destination is Ecce Homo, the home of the Sisters of Zion on Via Dolorosa. I head into the Shuk, the Arab market, which is just opening. The man selling freshly squeezed pomegranate juice is doing some business, and there are a few tourists looking at pashmina scarves. I know that in an hour or so, these streets will be packed, and the shopkeepers will be offering a huge discounts from their inflated prices in order to lure customers into their stores to buy religious objects or ancient stones or spices or sweets. I cut through to my left. I'm in the heart of the Christian quarter now, and I've come across the pilgrims. There's a group of South Americans bearing a heavy cross and chanting prayers as they walk towards the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Just behind them are Africans in colourful shirts, and I can hear another group, possibly from the Pacific Islands, singing psalms in beautiful harmony as they retrace the steps of Jesus. I go a little further before turning right. The merchants here are keen to offer me their wares, but I find it easy to resist olive wood camels, beads and bangles. When I come to the T at the end of the road, right in front of me is Abu Shukri, the hummus shop that many say is the best in Israel. But as it is not kosher, I've not had the privilege of tasting to verify this. By turning left, I reconnect with the rest of the Via Dolorosa. I've been walking the stations of the cross in reverse, and I'm heading towards the starting point. To the left is the Damascus Gate. Next time I'll take you that way, but for now I turn right at the Austrian Hospice. Some go there to see the view, but my destination is even more special. I say good morning to the parrot, who sometimes answers. I nod at the shopkeepers on the right-hand side of the street, and just ahead of me is the Ecce Homo Arch from the time of Hadrian, and I am nearly there. When I go into the Ecce Homo Pilgrim Hostel, I am greeted warmly by the receptionist and the volunteers. I take the lift to the second floor and walk out onto the terrace. Wow, what a spectacle! The old city of Jerusalem is laid out in front of me. I feel I can almost touch the Al-Aqsa Mosque. I'm standing above the Temple Mount. The cistern below me was part of the water system for the temple itself. I'd love to just stop and look and take it all in, but my students have arrived. Christians who have come to learn here the Jewish roots of Christianity. I had better go into the classroom. This is Peter Jones-Pellach with a special report for SBS Radio.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.